How he agonized in the garden before the Father. If there's any way for this cup to be taken from me. You know, just if there's any other way to do this, Lord, please, Father. And yet, not my will, but yours be done. I mean, you see the very human distress and agony. He sweat drops of blood. It was that much agony. And I just think we forget about that. We hear the message of grace, and it's the right message. It's the message that we all need to hear, that we get life freely because of what Jesus has done. But we can't forget what he did. You know, that last passage that was read with him hanging on the cross and mocking him. And then when he gives up his spirit, it says that the curtain in the temple was torn from top to bottom. And that curtain is what separated people from the presence of God. And so as Jesus breathes his last breath, we see symbolically this curtain being torn, and everyone, all of us included, everyone is invited into a relationship with the Father now. Like that song we sang, we're cleansed, we're holy in his sight because of what Jesus has done. And that grace is given to us freely. But grace is a gift, and like any gift, that costs someone something, right? And it's easy to forget, you know, when you get gifts, you forget someone actually had to pay for that, right? Your kids forget that all the time, but that's reality, kids, okay? Someone paid for that. Jesus paid for that, and it was a terrible price. It was costly, and make no mistake about it, because, you know, we think he's the Messiah. He was God in the flesh. Yes, he was, but it was real flesh. So when they nailed his hands and they nailed his feet, went through real flesh, and he felt real pain. When they put the crown of thorns on his head, it tore through real skin. I mean, he felt that. And it says that he did that to glorify the Father, to pay the price, to make that sacrifice for all of our sins. Remember when John the Baptist saw him before he baptized Jesus? He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." See, he was that symbolic lamb for all of us, sinners slain. And so tonight when we come together and we just think about that, we remember what he did. Jesus didn't avoid the pain. He had all the power available to him. When they came to arrest him, he said, "I could call down angels upon angels right now." But he was submitting to the Father's will, all for the glory of the Father and out of love for all of us. And so he didn't avoid the pain. He endured it. So, I just say all that to all of us. Listen, we don't talk a lot about suffering. In fact, in church, the message is more about avoiding suffering. And sometimes you hear a message, you know, you follow Jesus and you do this and you're promised good things. That's not the promise of Scripture. You know, we see what Jesus did for us, the fact that he laid down his life and suffered. And then he says, what is he? Hey, come and follow me. Come and follow me. He was a man of sorrows. All those things. His invitation is to follow him, and I think it includes suffering at times. The Apostle Paul, man, he knew suffering. He went through it. Read some of the Scripture. All the apostles. And we will face suffering this side of heaven. It's a part of life. Listen to what Peter says. This is 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. So then, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourselves with the same attitude he had and be ready to suffer too. For if you have suffered physically for Christ, you are finished with sin. You won't spend the rest of your lives chasing your own desires, but you'll be anxious to do the will of God. Now listen to how that starts. Since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourself with the same attitude. Now, when you think of someone says, hey, arm yourself, what do you think of? Get ready, because you're ready to go into battle or something's about to happen. Arm yourself. Arm yourself with what? The same attitude that Jesus had. He suffered physically. Arm yourself with that same attitude. Why? Because suffering's going to come your way. Because, folks, this side of heaven, we will experience suffering in different ways and to different degrees. And all of us will on different levels. And the reality is suffering changes you. He goes, you know, when you go through that kind of suffering and when you join Christ in his suffering, it changes you. And it says you won't spend the rest of your lives chasing after your own desires. Have you ever been in one of those situations where you thought your life was really in jeopardy? Like you thought, you know, like you thought either something bad was happening, you got a bad report from the doctor, and all of a sudden, man, all of the thoughts change. I just shared with my family last night at dinner, and it's funny to confess it now, but I just got back from Honduras, and on my way home, on the day before I came home from Honduras, I won't get into all the details, but I thought I was having a heart attack. Okay, I was feeling this pain, center of my chest, all of these things. I woke up in the middle of the night, 3 a.m, still feeling the pain, and my left arm was numb. And I was like, oh my gosh. So I started Googling, like, heart attack, left arm pain. Like, what is that supposed to be like? And in that moment, man, if it's real to you, in that moment, everything changes. You know, I started thinking about, you know, thanking God for so many things in my life. Started praying for my kids. You know, I told them, I literally was, because I didn't know what was going on. I'm in Honduras. I'm far from any doctors. I'm just like, God, if it's my time, just take care of my kids. You know, I don't care about take care of them like with stuff, but I just hope that they grow up to follow you. That's just the desire of my heart. See, when you endure any kind of suffering or anything like that, or if you experience tragedy, everything changes. And look what he says. You won't spend the rest of your life chasing your own desires. You'll be anxious to do the will of God if you've been given a second chance. And so suffering does change you. But in America, and often within the church, we try to do everything we can to avoid suffering. And biblically, we're told it's going to happen. And not that I'm not saying, hey, run after suffering, because no one wants to do that, right? But let's just be honest. We live in a fallen world, sick, death, diseases all around us, tragedy, suffering happens. And let's be thankful we don't live in one of those countries where suffering really happens at the hands of people who are persecuting Christians because of their faith. But let's not forget it either. Francis Chan, who wrote the book Crazy Love, I was listening to a message of his recently, and he tells of visiting the underground church in China. Now, the church in China is flourishing. Okay, it's going through revival. The church in America is declining. And as he's talking to the leaders there, he asks them, what is happening? Why is this happening? And, you know, so there's no, like, outward visible churches. There's no superstar pastors. There's no mega churches. This is all underground. And so he goes, what is happening to cause this growth? And here's what they said. They said, we have 5 pillars in the church. Here's what they are. 1, we're committed to the Bible. We believe the Bible to be true. We read it. We believe it. It's our life. Okay, it gives us life. We believe it to be true, and it guides our life. 2, we're committed to prayer. 3, everybody shares the gospel. It's good news. We've experienced it. We can't help but share it. When you can be in a place where it might cost you your life, and this is a real faith, and it is to have to share it with everyone, so everyone shares the gospel. The 4th is we expect miracles to happen. We believe in a God who's supernatural, so we expect those things. And Francis says the 5th is what was shocking to him, because he'd never thought of it. And the 5th was we embrace suffering for the glory of Christ. And, you know, again, in the American church, it's follow Jesus, and you won't have to experience that. But all the record of the Bible tells us suffering is going to come. It came for Jesus. It came for the apostles. I mean, it's all throughout Scripture. It teaches us to embrace suffering just as Jesus did. Look at the passage in Peter. It goes on to say this. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. So Jesus, who came and died and rose from the dead, he is coming again. And at that time, his glory is going to be revealed to everyone. So all this stuff, everything is temporary. Don't forget that. And don't be surprised when you suffer like it's something strange. Those who follow Jesus will suffer. And as you suffer, you know, Paul says you can have joy in your suffering. And the joy doesn't come from knowing that suffering is going to end. Like, you know, I follow Jesus, he's going to take it away from me. He may or he may not. The joy comes from knowing that this is all temporary. And there's something that we look forward to. The suffering on the cross was real. And he wasn't removed from that suffering. 3 days later, he rose. And so we have something to look forward to no matter what we face. There is a resurrection that we can look forward to. But this side of heaven, it's going to be tough. And let's not forget what life is really about. I was reading
I read these two stories yesterday. I want to share them with you.
This is real news from yesterday. Christians are being martyred for their faith every 5 minutes by barbaric Islamic State militants and other terror groups, a shocking new report has claimed. Believers are often singled out, tortured, and faced with the brutal choice of converting to Islam or being slaughtered, according to Christian Freedom International. Those who refuse to comply have reportedly had their limbs cut off or have been crucified. Research by CFI found that more than 200 million followers are facing persecution in 105 countries, making Christianity the most at-risk faith group in the world. So we have the privilege of not having to experience that firsthand. But folks, the stuff we see in the scripture, that's happening throughout the world. And so when I say, you know, embrace suffering, I mean, we don't experience real suffering here. I mean, suffering for us is, you know, I got convicted. I gave up cable for the Lord, you know. Someone at my workplace saw me read my Bible. They were, you know, saying things about me. I mean, come on. This is really happening, though. And so we can't forget that it's really happening. Be thankful for the freedom we have. We may not always have it. And you think about that. Like, imagine what it would be like to face that kind of suffering, to have to make those kind of decisions. How do you do it? I mean, if you're in that position facing these people who are going to kill you for your faith, how do you do it? You remember Jesus. You remember what he did. You remember what he endured. You rely on his spirit to carry you through. You remember that this isn't the end game. There's something beyond this. Recently, four missionaries with Wycliffe Bible Translators were brutally murdered by Islamic militants. Here's the story on that. Militants killed four national translators and injured several others in a raid on a translation office in the Middle East, reads a report from Wycliffe, an organization which seeks to involve people in the advancement of Bible translation. So they're translating the Bible for people who don't have it. They shot and destroyed all the equipment in the office, including the print-on-demand equipment. It continues. The invaders burned all the books and other translation materials in the office. Two workers died of gunshot wounds. Two other workers laid on top of the lead translator, saving his life, and died deflecting bludgeoning blows from the radicals. Wycliffe President Bruce Smith confirmed the deaths in a statement to Mission News Network and lamented that the story has not made national headlines because such cases are far too common. This is actually normal. Christians are being attacked, they're beaten, they're killed, they're jailed, they're tortured, and they're terrorized in this part of the world routinely, he said. Despite such danger, translators have such a thirst and such a commitment to getting God's word to their people that these are risks that they accept, he said. It increases their resolve to seeing God's word reach the hearts of people who are caught in this kind of violence and hopelessness. Now listen. What kind of person willingly goes into that? What kind of person, when they hear stories like that, stays or goes? I mean, you have to believe this to be true. You have to know it in your heart. You have to know him and know the truth and let the spirit be alive in you for you to do that. See, these people counted the cost. And do we count the cost? Do we even know the cost? We have so much freedom here. And tonight, as we take this bread and we drink this cup, I want us to think about the price that was paid for all of us to enjoy the free gift of eternal life and life with the Father and life to the full, but to not forget what's going on around us, that this kind of persecution is happening. Thank God for our freedom. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted. Listen to how 1 Peter ends in chapter 4, how he ends this kind of whole discussion. So, if you're suffering in a manner that pleases God, keep on doing what is right and trust your lives to God who created you, for he will never fail you. So if you're going through a hard time, what does he say? Just keep trusting God. Trust the one who created you. Does he promise that he'll remove the suffering? No, but he'll never leave you. That's the promise. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Whatever you might face, he'll see you through. When I think about Jesus, and I think about what God calls us to in following him, we just don't know a lot about sacrifice in our country. We don't know a lot about suffering. But I want to encourage you, Know the one who suffered for you so that you might have that life. And whatever might come your way, if you realize that this is all temporary, no matter what comes your way, you're devoted to him, he'll see you through it. And let's not forget our brothers and sisters who are suffering. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. I want to pray for us. And then we have communion on either side and in the back. And we're going to play a couple songs. And I just want to encourage you, take some time. Contemplate the songs that we're singing. Take some time with your family, maybe with some friends. And think about the sacrifice that was made. Maybe take a moment and pray. I mean, these are real stories I just shared with you. These families that were with Wycliffe Bible Translators, this just happened in the last week or two. Pray for families that are going through stuff because of that. Our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted. Pray for our government. Pray that, you know, God would be at work in the midst of all that's going on here in our country. But don't forget what's going on throughout the world. And don't forget the one who gave his life that we might have life. And will we have the courage to say, whatever you do, whatever you call us to, we'll go, and we trust you to see us through. Let's pray, and then we're going to sing, and then just make your way to the communion tables as you feel led, and we'll sing a couple songs, and then we'll close with a song as we go out. Father, let's come before you, Lord, and I pray that you just wake us up a little bit tonight. Lord, remove us from the slumber. We're very comfortable here, and we're very thankful for that, God. We thank you for the comfort. We thank you for the freedom that we enjoy. But God, we don't want to forget that we have brothers and sisters, real family in Jesus who are suffering throughout the world. God, we have brothers and sisters in this room who maybe have faced tragedy or gotten a bad report. And we just need to be reminded, Lord, this isn't the end game. There's life beyond this life. And Jesus, you died so that we might have that life. You took those blows so that we wouldn't have to take those blows for our sin. But you didn't promise it would be easy. So fill us with your spirit. Give us the strength and the courage to follow you. And we thank you and praise you for the freedom we have, for the grace that's been given to us. God, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.